ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Police in Idaho say they've captured an escaped prison inmate and another suspect after an intense two-day manhunt. State Police Lieutenant Sheldon Kelly says the pair may be linked to two killings.
We are investigating two homicides at separate locations in Nez Perce and Clearwater counties. These are potentially tied to this incident.
One of the inmates, Skylar Mead, is a member of a white supremacist gang. New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez says he won't seek re-election as a Democrat as he fights corruption and other charges, but he says he may run in November as an independent. The House is expected to vote tomorrow on a $1 trillion plus package to avert a potential government shutdown this weekend. The Justice Department has filed a sweeping antitrust lawsuit against Apple. It accuses a tech giant of boxing out competitors, stifling innovation, and keeping prices artificially high. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A one-time associate of former Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani is accusing Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson of spreading misinformation about President Biden's family at the Russian government's behest.
Senator Ron Johnson was our guy in the Senate. He was told to me that when we push the information, he's going to push it in the halls of Congress.
That's Lev Parnas testifying at Biden's impeachment hearing yesterday. Johnson's office says the claim is baseless. More homes are coming on the market in Wisconsin. Prices are going up, too. The Wisconsin Realtors Association's February report shows new listings are up 21% compared to a year ago. The median price is $270,000. Despite those trends, inventory is still tight and mortgage rates are still high. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Superior Plan Commission met Wednesday to vote on requests made regarding the Nemadji Trail Energy Center project. Minnesota Power requested that the property where the plant will reside be rezoned for street vacation on nearby undeveloped roads and to reopen the City of Superior's comprehensive plan. All three requests were denied by the Plan Commission, which includes Superior Mayor Jim Payne. Mayor Payne has been a vocal critic of the project due to its proposed location near a residential area. Ashland residents are coming together in an effort to save Northland College. The school announced last week that it needs $12 million by April 3rd or it would be forced to close at the end of the spring semester. The Ashland Parks and Recreation Department is hosting a party and fundraiser for the college on Friday, with the entry fees going to Northland College. The fundraisers will have carnival games, a silent auction, and food. It will be free for students and faculty to attend and $5 for everyone else. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
These two referendum that you will see on your April 2nd ballot. What is it that Republicans are after here? You cut funding for local elections. You restrict the hours. You restrict early voting. You intimidate and scare election workers so droves of them are quitting. I wonder where all of this is heading.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Bucks lose in Boston. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lost to the Celtics 122-119. Milwaukee trailed by 15 for most of the game, but closed to within a point in the final minutes. Head coach Doc Rivers after the game.
Yeah, it was one of those games where they kept getting the lead. We kept fighting back. So you love that. We did keep fighting. You know, we ended up shooting the ball better than them tonight. I thought our zone was really effective. Mixing back zone man. It made them hesitate what they were running.
Tonight it's the Bucks and the Brooklyn Nets in Milwaukee at Five Serve Forum. March Madness, the Wisconsin Badgers getting ready to take on James Madison University, 8:40 tomorrow night. Head coach Greg Gard on what stands out on the tape.
The diversity and the depth that they play with, about nine guys, and you can tell they've got, you know, Friedel has been around the game, Bickerstaff's been around the game, Edwards, they're all older guys.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A winter weather advisory goes into effect tonight, lasting through mid-morning Friday. 1 to 3 inches of snowfall by daybreak, lows in the upper teens. On Friday, snow ending, another inch or less possible, highs in the low to mid-30s. It's 30 at our studios.
The Todd Alba Show.
Our ride into spring continues. We have some great prizes to give away. A weekend getaway at Chula Vista Resort, a bike, and a three-way blender.
A three-in-one blender.
Oh, three-in-one. Sorry, I misread that. We're having our own political threesome
Todd
here.
Todd Alba going with the After Dark Show all of a sudden.
It's always
this
a pleasure.
Is Civic Media, not Cinemax, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey everybody, Todd Alba. Friday, noon to 2, a live report from the NCAA tournament and more on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Welcome Thursday night, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, and a little bit more tonight. Well, you know, always education. 855-752-4842 is the number if you want to call us, 855-752-4842. Johnny Lupinacci's in the house. How are you,
my
friend?
Oh, yeah. I'm doing good, Tim. You know, it's a Thursday, so I'm so excited because on my drive in to teach this morning, I listened to the show yesterday with Educators Amplified. Loved it. Always love having that recap. And then it's a teaching day. So I'm coming off of, you know, back-to-back sections of teaching the social studies teachers, which is ever exciting because you know what we talked about today? We talked about teaching core democratic values. Specifically, we talked on methods for how to do consensus decision-making with children. But the extra bonus points was link it back to what core democratic values did we practice today in our classroom that you're going to teach in your classroom. And so I tell them, we don't just make this up. This is actual stuff. It's curriculum. It's part of social studies. It's part of our public education. And tonight, our guest is kind of an expert in this area. So we're excited to have, you know, Dr. Nancy Flanagan with us.
And her blog, Teacher in a Strange Land. Although, Nancy, you start off, you know, welcome back to Busted Pencils. We always love having you. I think your last episode was whether we should do something with jingle bells.
Oh, my goodness. Yep.
It was timely. You have to.
It was.
Yes.
It was great stuff.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for being here. But your blog, you put this is about it's a week now or maybe a little bit more, but we've been holding you on and wanting to bring this concept because you ask the question in the title of your blog, do core democratic values belong in schools? Johnny Lupinacci's just kind of starting here saying that he's already indoctrinating new teachers in on those core democratic values. You know, doing that indoctrination.
I mean, if you're a citizen in this country, I mean, you basically have signed up that you're supposed to be practicing these. You're supposed to be applying them. So,
yeah. Oh, I don't know. But and you say some, but the you know, and you give us an answer though in the title. Some say no.
Yeah, that's the really astonishing thing is that there are people who don't think these core values, which come right out of the foundational documents, the Constitution, and the first three core democratic values in the Michigan social studies curriculum were life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. So, you know, who's opposed to that?
That's controversial stuff right there, life, liberty, and the pursuit, not even gaining happiness, just the ability to pursue it. But
though, Nancy, one of the things you even did this, you said core values, and you know, let's do a little touch in the blog here. In fact, one of the issues that came up in Michigan during the writing of the social studies standards, there was a Republican legislator who, for some reason, kind of saw core Democratic values as meaning like schools were teaching, you know, how to value Democrats.
Right.
And he just didn't think that was fair, you know, that there would be. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, he stepped in. This was a few years back, and it was a redo of the social studies standards just because it was time to do it. It wasn't like they said, you know, these are outmoded or anything, but the department every so many years redoes them. They look at what they are and they bring in, they do it the way you're supposed to. They bring in, you know, tons of teachers and experts and they bring in legislators. And this guy, Patrick Colbeck, he's kind of known around the state, but
for brilliance.
I'm trying to say something here. Right wing.
His insightful analysis.
His insightful.
Something.
Yeah. He was determined to get rid of any mention of core Democratic values, and he said because they're not neutral. You know, mm-hmm. they're Democratic. He said, I wouldn't want the core Republican values either. And but it wasn't just a matter of him screwing up and not understanding the label. It was a matter of he wanted to do a lot of things. And I mentioned a few of them in the blog, but this went on for, months and months. And one of the teachers who was on the team, after I posted the blog, he sent me a private message and he said, I still have nightmares about this. He said, I would never do this again. You know, I'm just a government teacher from Alpena. You know, I can't deal with this because Colbeck just came in and started pushing, you know, the system out of the way, you know, with everybody sitting around the table and everybody contributing and reading the comments that they solicited online. And there was nothing that he liked. And he took what tiny little mentions there were in the previous social studies standards of things like the women's movement, LGBTQ rights, you know, just something, you know, civil rights, racism, sexism, things that had just kind of lightly been touched upon. He wanted all those out, and he wanted, the most amazing thing to me was that he wanted something inserted that said, when some people get rights, it takes away the rights of others.
Couldn't believe that when I mean this is, he's like, you know, like, look, we're going to put in our core Democratic values. First of all, we're not going to call them Democratic because that's a, you know, giving some kind of shout out to Democrats. But one of our core values is recognizing that when certain people get rights, that's how other people's rights get trampled on.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah. You know, and some of this is funny and we make this funny, but some of it's absolutely downright serious because the reality here, and, you know, I made fun of Johnny saying, Johnny, what are you doing, you know, indoctrinating those future teachers in core Democratic values? But the reality here is what it sounds like when you ask the question, do core Democratic values belong in school? Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, keep going on, the common good. People are saying, like, well, some of those issues, I'm not so sure I want our kids. I mean, there's an interesting debate, and I don't mean like a big, but there are people who go, yeah, I'm not so sure schools should be doing that type of stuff. Johnny, I see you got to jump in there.
I mean, I can jump in, Tim. I mean, we did a whole show on my stick on this. I mean, I love these, and I spend a lot of time with teachers discussing them, teaching them, learning them as adults together, talking about what democracy and actions look like, really going through how do we separate out democratic as an adjective from the noun, the Democrat Party, right? So how can we really understand these democratic values, linking them to primary documents as our Constitution, the Bill of Rights, even human rights and UN documents that, you know, really help bring, you know, like groundedness to why these values are not only values of the United States of America, but of places around the world striving to engage in democratic governance, not the Democrat Party. I think it's important that, like Nancy wrote about this, is talking about it, and that we're reminded that sometimes when we use those words, they have multiple interpretations that then guide reactions people have. But, you know, we the thing that always gets me, Tim, and the thing we spend the most time talking about is there's this list of really great stuff. And because it's ingrained in our head in the first three we list, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, they kind of feel like they're like that we are, that maybe we're prioritizing a few of these here or there, or that you can pick one or two of the values and fight for them. And it's like, hold on. The really important part is that all of these, we practicing democratic citizenship, not being a Democrat, because I know Republicans who value strong democratic participation, right? And so that not that they're always well represented by some of their elected officials, but I know like neighbors who believe that all of those things are really valuable. All of those core democratic values are things we'd want to practice and believe in and have faith and trust in one another's competency in them. So great. The hard part is balancing and holding all of them at equal value. Because I might say like Tim, like, hey, it's my right. It's my pursuit of happiness. And in fact, liberty gives me the freedom to pursue my happiness. And I'm not killing anybody, so I value life. But it's not in the interest of the common good. Like, you can't always get your way just because it's what makes you happy. Right? So we're talking, like, it's not always in favor of, you know, truth, of popular sovereignty, of valuing one another's voice, of equality, right? Diversity. We talked about these values. A lot of my really, I don't know what I can call them, friends, neighbors that are far right wing, they always are saying, well, the liberals added diversity and equality to the... No, actually, they've been here. This is not new stuff. These values go back quite a ways, and we can learn about them, but then also how to practice them and balance that they all are held at equal value. So you can't just pick patriotism, define it yourself, and run with it. You have to balance these out.
You've done that. So let's just remind Nancy, I'm going to just jump in because Johnny put them out there again, right? Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, justice, the common good, equality, truth, diversity, popular sovereignty, and patriotism. Those are the core democratic values, not just the ones you like, but that's all of them. Nancy, I interrupted you, and I know we're about ready to go on break, but go ahead.
Well, I wanted to mention that Ron DeSantis would be, you'd have to put him into the category of someone who doesn't think they belong in schools, because most of the legislation he's been sponsoring and or directing and passing flies in the face of equality and justice. I mean, it's very,
I think that, though, too, put that there and we'll come back to that, is that how many of school, what we're seeing now, are actually going after and suppressing some of these core democratic values intentionally. Suppression, not lifting. It's Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded education talk. It's Educated Educators Talking Education. We'll be right back.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
There's always reasons why I sing, Johnny sings, our guests sing. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Our guest Nancy Flanagan, blogger, teacher, teacher in a strange land is the blog, Core Democratic Values. Should we be teaching them? Do they belong in schools? Some say no. And in fact, Johnny was going over them, and you know, there's a whole list too. And just again, remind everybody: life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, justice, the common good, equality, truth, diversity, popular sovereignty, and patriotism. There's no debating that those are the core democratic values that are have come across social studies standards in civics books for forever, right? I mean, the reality though is that we are seeing now, though, as you were saying, Nancy, right before the break, that there are actively pursuits to say, well, some of those maybe we don't really like that much, and public schools, yeah, we're not going to be the place, Johnny, right? I mean,
you got to pick. Do you want to teach? And this is where I think, you know, Nancy was talking about. I mean, this is the, if we get to the crux of this, if you're against any of these, you're against all of these. It's an all or nothing. And so if you're starting to pick a few, then you're really just arguing for your version of, say, like Tim, if you pick four that you really like, you can call them, this is like Tim's democracy. This is like, you know, it's a new version. It's a new kind. You probably can't even really use the word democratic and have these values. But if you pick a few of them, it's Tim's government. So now we're talking about many forms of despotism or authoritarianism, or, you know, we get there. We've talked about it on this show and guests have brought it up. Like, dare we say, moving towards a more fascist state. And that's when you start to pick one or two of these and argue for them, or demand that they are focused on and priority, and you use force. That's fascism. You know, so
Nancy, you made comment of that very early in the blog.
Yeah. Yes. The one that I would isolate and highlight right now as being particularly difficult is truth.
Yeah.
Mostly because there are so many sources. It's something like 45% of all people get most of their political news from social media, and kids, you know, that's where they get truth. And truth is a really murky thing. It's very hard, and I think if there's one thing that we could do, public education could do and should do, it's put a much greater focus on how to tell the difference between truth and something that is, you know, designed to move your opinion in one way or another. I see this all the time with the kids that I'm volunteering with, who are middle school kids. These are kids who need an adult in their life, and the things that they think and they know and they believe are really, really frightening to me. And I think that's a major change from when the three of us were growing up, and and I grew up before you did, but you know, there was still truth out there. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and it's really hard to recognize what's true and what's not.
But you said that too, and it just reminded me, you know, when I was a fifth grade teacher, fact and opinion, right? That was like it was like every third reading lesson had teaching the difference between fact and opinion. And guess what? There were right answers for being facts, and things were the right if you picked them as an opinion. And if you got a fact and you classified it as an opinion, I marked it wrong. Because I was supposed to, you know, and you say the alternative truths, all these different things, but yeah, recognizing truth. I think though, maybe it's more this that you hear people going, like, I just don't like that truth. And so we're not going to teach that because I don't like that truth. And so, yeah, that truth makes me uncomfortable. It might be true, but it makes me uncomfortable. And you know what? The new legislation says that if you make me uncomfortable, I can complain. Mm-hmm. Yeah, think about Johnny, right?
Well, yeah, and to some degree, learning to put into practice these democratic values is sharing your dissent, is talking about different ways you're experiencing it, is acknowledging that maybe you have a different perspective or that you're getting information from a different place. Mm-hmm. But it's balanced out by the others too. I think Nancy's really dead on with like focusing. If we're going to talk about some of these, especially where the controversy seems to converge, this core value of truth is really in jeopardy. Mm-hmm. And it also it's a call to us to break it down, to talk about that. It's part of why transparency is important, why trustworthiness of things you share, of decisions we make together as a group or what we're learning in our classroom. Why we build a trustworthiness around scientific consensus or around the body of knowledge that's out there on a particular issue, that we're not excluding that there are other views, but that we're saying that given like learning about all these things, we have to build a trustworthiness in the base of our experience from experts. And this is a time, like I know, like Nancy, Tim, you both we're acknowledging it. This is a time where we're also battling as a culture, grappling with this notion of everybody's an expert if they can get on the internet. And so that's just simply not true, but we are struggling from it as a culture because like there are certain things I learned to do in plumbing, working with master plumbers, that I know I don't really do that well, but I know they do. It's their profession, their expertise. They have a knowledge set. I might be able to look some stuff up on the internet, but I'm probably not going to be able to do it as well as an expert. So I need to build trust and truth and things in that kind of relationship. And it's all those ways where we begin to learn that it's okay to rely on one another. It's not a weakness. It's okay to recognize expertise in someone other than yourself, right? And to build strength in, there we go with the other core democratic value, diversity.
Well, I was going to say, in fact, that one, what you made me think about, you know, truth and diversity, holding those two things together, as you said, constant, can create some friction. Well, and you know what? That's okay. Nancy, I say you're not right.
Yeah.
That's it. This is such a big thing. And, you know, we started out talking about core democratic values as being part of an overall social studies curriculum, but really they're woven into everything. I taught instrumental and vocal music, and the core democratic values in the way you run your classroom, for one thing. But I'm thinking here about patriotism and how you teach kids, you know, with their clarinets and their saxophones to play patriotic songs and to show up for the parade because, you know, their uncles and their great uncles and their grandparents showed up for even bigger things and what it means to respect that. And that was all woven into my curriculum, too. And that's really important. It's mm-hmm. not just a social studies thing. This is like David Laborie, and he talks mm-hmm. about the three purposes of education, about democratic equality and job training and social mobility. Well, the key thing for me is democratic equality. If kids can't see that, we're not teaching anything at all about citizenship. It's not just
busted more pencils. Yeah, busted pencils. We'll be right back after the break.
Friday morning on Up North News Radio, media critic Mark Jacob, national correspondent Kia Vakil, and Brittany Merlo's weekend forecast.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A former Milwaukee election official is found guilty of election fraud. A jury says Kimberly Zapata used fake names to get a hold of military absentee ballots illegally. Her lawyer argued she was a whistleblower. Zapata could get up to 5 years in prison. Governor Evers says Wisconsinites are embracing mental health care, but he only got about 10% of what he asked from lawmakers in the state budget. He says student-led efforts are helping pick up the slack.
I visited several schools over the last 4 years that they have great mental health programming going in some places that you would never expect.
More with Evers on the Empowered Caregiver this weekend on Civic Media. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Duluth public school teachers will be receiving a raise in their next two contracts. The Duluth School Board voted unanimously to approve raises for their teaching staff over the next 4 years. Teachers will receive a 6% raise this year, a 3% raise next year, and 2% raises in each of the next 2 years. School officials said the raises are meant to show teachers the school board appreciates their hard work in creating a great learning environment. There will also be 4 new professional development opportunities. The Duluth City Council will introduce a resolution calling for a permanent ceasefire in Gaza. The move comes following pressure from the community to introduce the resolution, joining a number of other city councils across the country calling for an end to the violence in the region. The City Council is scheduled to discuss the resolution at Thursday's agenda session, and a vote on it could come as soon as next week. The resolution was sponsored by Azrin Awal, Wendy Durwachter, and Mike Mayu. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The KreitzCast, folks.
My conversation with Taylor Kalmus, a.k.a. Dude Dead.
When you go to the movies and you get to the last climactic scene, you're not just like, oh, you know what would be fun? Let's leave. Let's finish this movie in the parking lot. You guys know what I'm talking about, do you?
I think he's talking about...
Let's pull out of this movie theater.
KreitzCast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Pete with the 60-second showbiz beat. Life is a gamble, especially when you gamble. Last week, News Nation reported that Bruno Mars owed $50 million to MGM Resorts from gambling debts. Mars is under contract with MGM, where he makes $1.5 million a night, which means if the rumors are true, it's going to take him 5 weeks to pay off that $50 million. MGM went on the record saying they are proud of the relationship they have with Mars, who is one of the world's most thrilling and dynamic performers, and a guy you definitely want at your poker table. Fans of the royal family continue to be concerned about the well-being of Kate Middleton. Rest easy, the New York Post reports that Middleton's professional look-alike, 43-year-old Heidi Egan, is finally speaking to the media. Egan, who has impersonated Kate since 2012 at parties and meet and greets, says recent photos of William and Kate are legitimate. She says it is not her in the photos, as some have claimed. I mean, if you can't believe an impersonator look-alike, who can you believe? In a related story, Prince William was seen with Elvis. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A winter weather advisory goes into effect tonight, lasting through mid-morning Friday. 1 to 3 inches of snowfall by daybreak, lows in the upper teens. On Friday, snow ending, another inch or less possible, highs in the low to mid-30s. It's 30 at our studios.
The Todd Alba Show.
I love me some Drew Holiday. My favorite Buck. I love what he's doing. I just really, really wish it wasn't for the Boston Celtics. My loyalty is still more to Giannis. But, like, when Drew scores a bucket still, I'm like, yeah.
That's like to a former Drew lover.
I got a Drew Holiday jersey, a Bucks jersey, and I got an Aaron Jones Packers jersey. This is so why I'm a scoring former lover for both of those players.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey, that's what we do. We're always Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. We're here to save you. 855-752-4842. Yeah, educated educators talking education. Our guest, Nancy Flanagan, educator, blogger, teacher in a strange land blog. We're talking about, do core democratic values belong in schools? And continue the title. Some say no, though, Johnny Ibenacci. Some say no. We started with a little bit of the reality that, you know, some people, just the simple fact of hearing Democrat, are like, well, that sounds biased and we shouldn't do Democratic core values. And, you know, we're like, wait, we're talking about democracy, not Democrats. And so, you know,
sorry,
you don't need, you know, a counterweight to Democratic core values. Democratic core values are the core values of a democracy. And so we're going to put those forward. And then, you know, you go through and then we're kind of getting to this point, though, saying, how do you then push against, in this moment right now, where we see states and governors and legislatures actively saying by the laws they pass, and I'll just put this one, that, you know, teaching critical race theory, if it makes you uncomfortable, that's the litmus test as to whether that was a violation then. And we just talked about this, that when you're talking about potentially mixing patriotism with diversity, with truth, that, boy, that might be a whole hotbed of uncomfortability. And, you know, and so the reality is that somebody's like, we didn't outlaw core democratic values. It's like, well, you outlawed uncomfortability. And talking about core democratic values can be really uncomfortable sometimes, especially when you don't get to pick the ones you like and disregard the ones you don't like. That's where we're coming from. Nancy, right?
I had a comment on the blog from a commenter that I didn't recognize. Usually people who comment on my blog have been there before, and I can kind of figure that this was an entirely new one. And it said, should parents be able to control which core democratic values that our children learn about? And, you know, I wrote back saying parents have always had the right to pull their kids out of anything they want. But as part of the curriculum, that which we, you know, push out to all the students, no. I mean, parents can't say at our school, we're not learning about justice and, you know, truth, it's gone. You know, you just can't do that. They're a set. They're interactive, and they depend on each other. And if you don't want your kid to hear about equality, well, then I guess they can go to the office and write a worksheet. But and then the guy came back and asked again about, well, do parents have any rights over any of this? And it was like, I already told you, yes. You know, if you don't want your kid to learn about popular sovereignty, okay. Or patriotism or whatever it is. But, you know, the other kids get to have that. It's central to everything, Johnny, that we teach.
This reminds me, Johnny, of our conversations we've had with our own astrophysicist, Dr. Ethan Siegel, where he very much would say, and very much in support of what Nancy said, well, no, when it comes to issues of scientific truth, he would say, he's like, no, you don't get to opt out of that. If you want to opt out of that, go to a private school. He goes, but if you're going to send your kids to public schools, there are certain things you don't get to opt out of. You know, well, he was very direct about that. And so core democratic values, I guess you technically have the right to pull your kids out of that, but you do not, Johnny, you put it up there. Well, you do not have the right.
This is a distraction argument because you're going to even go to a public school. You're going to go to a private school. You're going to go to the best schools. You're going to find that they're actually doing democratic classrooms and they're teaching democracy. Within democratic values, you can have religious beliefs. You can have dissent. You can have a balance of all these things. That's partly what's so special and unique about this is it's saying like you have a right and a freedom to a diversity of ideas, but we can't compromise any of these values at the expense of we can't replace one or prioritize one at the expense of the other. So like you can be uncomfortable, Tim, and you can say, well, it's my right, you know, to express that I'm not comfortable, but you can't say what would make me comfortable is if we got rid of all these other ideas and just did the ones that I'm comfortable with. Now you're threatening diversity, truth, all of these other core democratic values. So they often get pitched as something that like belong. They are essential to a democracy, and public education has a service role in ensuring that its citizenry have that. But they I'm gonna let the cat out of the bag. They're often found also in private institutions because they are values. So they don't belong to Democrats or to Republicans only. They don't belong to religious private schools. They don't belong to, you know, elite academies only. They don't belong to higher ed and not elementary. This is part of anywhere we gather. They can't even be family values align oftentimes with core democratic values. These are things that we prioritize as a government and ensure happen in our public schools. So I do like when Dr. Ethan Siegel comes on and he says, look, if you don't want to do this, then don't participate in public schools. But this is a role public schools play. Yes. And my answer to that is good luck finding somewhere that doesn't practice them, because in some of the most strict, maybe they preface or they, you know, maybe in a Catholic school, Catholicism is centered, right? But good luck finding a school that then says these values, though, we don't really care about them. I have yet to find one, even in the most private and, you know, institutions in this country or world. They seem to converge towards valuing these things.
But the difference you're talking about, I think Nancy could come in on this, though, is that but public schools have a responsibility, yes. Nancy, yes. Right? I mean, I could see you wanting to say that with your eyes.
Yeah, really? Wow, you are good. Yes. I'm thinking about some of the Christian schools here, and you know, hey, if you want to send your kids to I'm not talking about Catholic parochial Catholic schools. I'm talking about some of the school in a pole barn where they are just really are not interested in justice or equality, or they're interested in only their version of it. And if you want your kids to go to school where, you know, they believe that people and dinosaurs walk the earth together, well then okay, but you have to pay for it. Really don't care. But yes, I fully agree. These are public schools, so they have to be, you know, that's their purpose.
Right. And they don't just live there. We say the public schools have a primary responsibility of teaching those core democratic values. And this is what we try to do on the show with Busted Pencils, remind everybody that public, you know, democracy and public education, those two concepts or whatever you want to say, they have each other in support of each other. You need a strong public school system committed to core democratic values if you want to uphold a democracy and you want citizens who are going to practice core democratic values. Your public school has the responsibility to, you know, my goodness, you're saying public schools have to indoctrinate kids on core democratic values? Well, yes.
Here's the other thing about core democratic values. They're really interesting. They're really good curriculum. Every now and then I hear somebody say, oh, we need better civics education. Well, yeah, I agree. We need better civics education. But if we're going to do civics education and we're not going to fully, embrace the core democratic values, what are we going to be talking about?
It's going to be
debates and times, and it's going to be boring, and it's going to be stuff that doesn't stick with kids. This is the juice. This is the really good stuff about curriculum and about living in the United States. It's what makes us different.
And it's not easy, and it's not scripted. It's not specific to one experience. It's really, like Nancy, like you said, it's the excitement of this.
Yes.
It's where rubber meets the road every day, and no matter what you graduate to become or go into learning or contribute, it's democracy in action. And in fact, it's one of the core values, popular sovereignty, a government for the people, by the people. If we don't know how to do it, then we can't have it. So now the other side of this, Tim and Nancy, sounds like we're all for this, and we make this pretty airtight case. Like, you can't really go against this and be here, or like deny that this is a job that public schools are, maybe even originally the purpose of public education was a, political purpose here. So we ensure the sustainability of the democracy. Okay. So we're there. So if I was against this and I understood all these, it sounds like then I'm not for democracy. So maybe if I did want to weaken citizens, and I did want to make it a vulnerable citizen base, like I wanted to like really take advantage of the people in my country, then I wouldn't want them to learn that these values make them stronger together, and they strengthen local economies and local communities. So it sounds like to me the people attacking this also know what they're doing. On one hand, I just want to educate them and how much we all share these values and how great they are. On the other hand, I'm like, wait, maybe they understand how great they are, and they don't want us, the people, to be empowered in this way, because it decentralizes power into local communities. And that's not what the folks attacking this want. They want us to accept a more fascist or a more despot kind of leadership.
No, I think Nancy was in agreement there too. I mean, you talked about, let's look to a lot of, particularly the red states right now, that are really doing a full court press on saying core democratic values. Diversity. No. Diversity makes us uncomfortable. We're not going to allow that. Nancy, go ahead.
Make it harder for people to vote, because we don't like the way these people are voting. They're ill-informed. They don't agree with us. And I started that blog out by saying I try not to to say, I try not to go directly to Hitler, with these blogs. These days it is frightening to me, and I just read this book by Rachel Bitticoffer called Hit 'em Where It Hurts. And she said she used to feel that way too, that you really couldn't, press too hard. You couldn't call people names, but if we don't, bad things can happen. Yes.
I don't think it's a stretch though, too. As Johnny said, when we make the lock step argument that we're doing here airtight, of going like, look, if you don't support these, okay, maybe some form of a Hitler comment is going a little too far, but however, the reality is that you're tilting in a direction that and in fact, if we know anything, good social studies in history teachers would tell you, one of the biggest reasons we want to learn from the past, we look at the past and we make comparisons. And when it starts to feel like diversity, core democratic values, truths, and those things are being challenged as things that should be taught in public schools, we're going to call it out. We're going to be truthful. Johnny, we got one more. jump in.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's good to put that in the Hitler example kind of is extreme, right? Because, but what's not extreme is bringing it back to the fact that, like, if something is by definition moving towards a dictatorship, remember, we can have benevolent dictators. You can have a good king, but like, is it really the system we want? Because you could also have a bad king. And Hitler happened to be a bad dictator. And I kind of think all dictators probably are not the best way to go. But we have, if we don't know how to name those things or understand them, then we're vulnerable to, like you said, repeating mistakes of the past.
It's Nancy Flanagan. The blog is Teacher in a Teacher in a Strange Land. Nancy, thank you for busting pencils.
Thank you.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
It's time to ride into spring by listening to this local civic media radio station. Listen each weekday at 7, 10, 1, and 3 for your chance to win a Chula Vista getaway in this statewide contest. Plus, every contest entry is in to win one of two grand prizes that include new bicycles, outdoor patio furniture, and a portable smoothie bullet blender with a total value of over $1,000. Get ready to ride into spring. Civic Media, hometown radio, refreshed.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Yeah, you hear it. Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Hey, there's time still. 855-752.
Give us a call. Come on.
4842. Come on. Core democratic values. Jenna, you take it this way, though. You know what? A lot to hear and listen to. Potentially, you know, you take the content that we have tonight. And I think there's a lot of people just sitting back going, man, I just want to keep hearing and learning more, because you said it, Johnny. The airtight discussion that we're having tonight around core democratic values and the function of public schools and how those two, they just go together. You don't get to opt out of core democratic values, especially if you're a public school. John, go ahead.
Well, yeah, we said this. We remember a couple weeks ago, it feels like now, we talked about what are the three characteristics or tenets or conditions for something to be categorized as democratic, not the Democrat Party, not the Democratic Party, but to be, say, this is a democratic organization, or we live in a democratic country, right? Or we are organizing under the precipice of or principles of democracy. One, everybody has a voice and that voice is valued. Two, everybody has a right and responsibility to participate in decision-making. A right and responsibility. Three, it's in the interest of the common good. And then we broke into all those values that help better understand how do you act and how do you behave and how do you contribute? Because guess what, Tim? You don't get to not contribute in a democracy. That's part of the popular sovereignty. It's a government for the people, by the people. Not just like you have an opportunity should you want to. You have to. You can't opt out. So that's a big piece of this, too, is like it is implied that if you're in the community, if you're in our space, if you're like if you're going about, you're using roads, you're doing like there are certain aspects of the common good that we hold important that everybody builds a certain level of competency around. Democratic decision-making, any political decision-making, ought not to be reserved in an elitist set for like people who only graduated from X, Y, and Z schools or who only have so much money. All right, it is everybody. There's no special little group in there. You don't get to pick and choose who we listen to and who we prioritize. So it's just part of everyday stuff that we
you know, have fortunately in many places worked into the fabric of where a lot of young people spend their time, schools. It's also in sports programs. It's also in, you know, community groups. It's in public libraries. You know, our healthcare system tries to, as much as it can, operate democratically, right? It's a lot of that's been privatized too. I'm sure a lot of it's nurses, doctors to call in.
You made the point though earlier though, Johnny, and you're making me think about it now. And let's drive this home again. The reality of going, and if you're against these, and in fact, the reality is saying, like, you know, stopping the attack on public schools and the attack on democracy, we try to make that connection for my neighbor is to go, it's like, look, if you're for attack, if you are supporting the attack of your local public school, you're supporting an attack on democracy, and recognizing how those two go together there. And the reality of whether it's, you said, private vouchers, you know, siphoning public money to send kids outside of the public school system is in one way also saying, like, we will do anything we can to make sure the citizens and the population do not get core democratic values that the public schools give. And we're going to create the failure narrative of public schools so we can drive people out, create a reason for not to send there. And the reality is that, Johnny, what you're saying is there's a fear of a population, the entire population, as you said, not one stratosphere, not one atmosphere, not one group, not this group. Everybody in the population has the rights to core democratic values, unless you don't want certain people to understand their rights, then you deny them the public education. And this is where I'm linking it together here for my neighbor who's listening tonight to say, this is why Johnny and Tim busted pencils, fully led at education talk, why we're always saying the connection between democracy and public schools is essential. You can't attack your public schools and then feel frightened when democracy starts to disappear, because public schools are really the only main number one institution charged with teaching core democratic values. That was my little litany there, Johnny.
It's an insurance policy on that. It happens, right? I mean, I think as a nation, this is a democratic values have found their way into like extracurricular activities.
Sure.
Groups, theater groups, dance groups, sports teams, football teams, you know, I'm going to just keep naming things. Also workplaces. I mean, we've all been part of work crews that operate democratically. It doesn't mean anything goes. You know, we learn it and practice it all the time in a democracy, and that keeps us sharp. When we're practicing core democratic values on the job or at play or in our community, right, it keeps it sharp. It keeps it like iron, right? Iron sharpens iron. Like when we're really good at democratic values, we're always bringing them to those places where we're interacting with others. But historically, and I'd argue even now more than ever, right, like in the most current moment, public schools is an insurance policy on if we aren't getting that in our lives, we're getting it when we go to learn together in a place where we are, you know, figuring out how. This is where we learn it. So it's also not like we're asking second graders to show up and be great democratic citizens. It's like where young people are trying out different ideas, like they're working through the discomfort of like, but it doesn't mean I get my way. No, you don't always get your way because you're the loudest or you're the strongest or you're the fastest. And those are things we learn in school. We learn the difference between wants and needs. We learn how to collaborate. We learn how to listen, right? We learn how to, like you said, navigate fact and opinion. We learn how to hold space for multiple views, right? And we also learn that there's this thing called the future that we hear about a lot as young people, and we get really annoyed with it because it's kind of an annoying thing we hear about all the time. Well, you're going to need this later. But we also do need to think and learn that decisions we make now have an impact on things later. And so we have a responsibility to future generations. These are all things we grapple with and learn in schools. They're all related to core democratic values. If you're against them, well, we kind of know why you'd be against them. It's because you want people to not exercise their rights and responsibilities.
Busted Pencils. Man, great Thursday night. Thanks to our guest, Nancy Flanagan. Tomorrow night, Friday, hey, Trending Education News. See y'all tomorrow.
Say yes to MPS.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Embattled Senator Bob Menendez is making a decision of sorts about his political future.
I will not